You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
What's up? Hello.
What are we talking about?
Hey, guys.
Can I do this?
Do I know how to wear headphones?
I'm going to be so close.
Like welcome this. To the
Is
world.
There not an R now?
This one's on
sometimes
stereo.
I get out there. Yeah, right. Fix it after. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Ride or Cry podcast. Today we're sitting down with Johnny Minardi. For those of you who don't know, basically every band that you like or have ever listened to that is good, this guy has had a hand in it.
Wow. That's a hell of an intro. I don't know how to follow that, but I'll leave it with you.
So thanks for coming by.
Thanks for inviting me. Office is gorgeous, as I said 3-4 times already, walking
thanks.
In here.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. We sleep on bags of money now.
Good, yeah. You all live here, right?
Yeah.
Like all.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right. No. We live in very expensive houses now.
I showered here once.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
How was that?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was after we did like a shoot and I had a bunch of makeup on me.
Beautiful.
But
these are live workspaces, yeah. So I got tattooed here one time and I didn't realize it until I was in the elevator with the tattoo artist.
Oh, separately?
Yeah. Like
not
a while
like
ago.
In your office, but in your building.
In this building, right. A while ago, I got tattooed here, and then when we moved in, I was like, "This looks familiar," because my brain is—I don't remember anything. I have right. No memory whatsoever right. Of anything, and so
that's
I was like,
"Very true."
I don't remember anything. So I was going up the elevator, and I was like, "This is like a weird deja vu thing." And then I saw him in here, and I was like, "That's what it is."
There it is.
Now he's like a fucking awesome, just fine artist. He draws like or paints like really like a. It's like it looks like Marlboro ads like is what it would be. Mm-hmm. It's like all very Western,
got it.
Themed, a lot of cowboys. But it's fucking.
Is that what he got? Gave you a tattoo of?
No, he tattooed back of my neck.
Okay.
So
what did he put on there?
The rose. It's a rose, and it says "I'm sorry" on it. I don't know what it looks like because it's on the back of my neck.
I've never seen it, but
yeah. I literally have no idea what it fucking looks
that's
like.
That's great.
He could have just slapped a dick on there. And I had no idea.
We'll check later.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for coming. We haven't done a podcast in a while, so I think what would be interesting for people that listen to our podcast is for you to tell us a little bit about who you are, what you have done, what I think what I would want to know is like what you're most proud of. What you think your biggest accomplishments are as far as music industry is concerned.
That's heavy.
Yeah, it's a heavy thing.
17 questions in one go.
Yeah, shit. So I actually started a record label right out of high school instead of going to college when I was 18. Found a bunch of local bands. No one was signing them because they were small and probably not that great looking back on a couple. But I was friendly. I was supportive. I was the guy that was running around doing anything I could to help them, whether it be set up shows, do merch at the shows, carry shit in and out of a venue. Kind of probably that annoying kid, but like kind of kept it not as annoying as most do,
yes.
I feel. So they kept letting me help. So I kept doing that and I kept asking them, why isn't your record in stores, this, that, and the other thing? And they never had an answer for me outside of, we don't know how to do that. So I learned how to do that.
What year was that?
2001.
What city?
Chicago.
And cool. Who were some of these first bands?
August Premier, who went on to sign to Feel Bar Ramen. 504 Plan, who was big in Chicago only. Great band, though. Everyone should check them out. And then it went on to be Gatsby's American Dream, who went to Fearless, Hidden in Plain View, who went to Drive Through, and then the last one I signed was the Academy Is, who also went to Feel Bar Ramen. When they went, I went with, because Feel Bar Ramen was exploding and expanding with Fall Out Boy, and then right before Academy Is, Gym Class Heroes, Cobra Starship, right before that era is when I went in. So I went there, I moved to Florida 2004, started working at Feel Bar Ramen for 8 years.
What was your role when you first got there?
Retail. So okay. I worked at a record store in Illinois as my actual paying job while I started a label and lost a shitload of money. So that was paying my I was like $300 a month in rent, which I wish I could go back to because yeah. That sounds awesome.
So I'm going to interrupt you.
Great.
Because
go nuts.
I feel like people are going to want to know this. When you decided to start a label, did you get any sort of like funding? Did you like just try to figure it out? Did the I don't know how I think we had Ask Jeeves back then, where you just yeah. ask him how to start a record label.
Sure. That's how you would have done it. I did not. I wasn't smart enough to ask him. So maybe he had a better answer. But my grandma actually had $4,000 set aside for me for whatever I wanted. I think to help with school when I got in to buy books and whatever, you know, college kids do. But I decided to take that money and put it into putting out my first two records. And I think when you start that young and stupidly, you just hope that you make enough back to do it again and again and again. You know, you don't have these big thoughts of like, I can't wait to put out 100 releases. You just do, you want to hang out with your friends and show them music. So, at that point, you know, I got ahead of myself and I wanted to sign bands faster than the previous one was recouping. Even though the previous ones were doing well, everything in music is so delayed with payments and royalties that it's like, even if you're doing well, you don't see that money for 6 to 12 months if you're lucky, you know. So I'm signing 2-3 bands a year, not getting the money from the previous ones for another year. So I started opening credit cards with my partner, Tony. We, at the end of it, when we ended it, everyone thought we were killing it. And we had 10 releases. A couple of them, the bands I named, were obviously pretty successful, selling thousands of records, which at the time was a lot. We ended with $30,000 in credit card debt between the two of us, oh like God. The day we stopped. And we were like, everyone's like, dude, you killed it. That's unbelievable. I was like, yeah, shit. Yeah. Like, sort of looks cool, and it got me a job. So it's sort of like I went to college and used that. So, yeah, totally. So we basically just had to pay off those credit cards over the next couple of years together just with our other jobs. He went on to tour manage the Academias, and now he tour manages Panic at the Disco and Carly Rae Jepsen. So he's doing fine as well over there on the other side of it. But yeah, so we learned a lot that way, and we didn't have real funny. I mean, the $4,000 went, you know, as fast as you know how that goes with like artwork, recording, whatever. Like, I can't even imagine that it paid for everything.
Dude, how did you meet your business partner? Is that Tony?
Yeah, I met him in second grade.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I've just known him forever, and he was always the guy that him and I were obsessed with Korn. The band Korn.
So was I.
Not the food.
Yeah, the food was great too, but we liked the band better. So we'd go, and we'd literally go to like memorabilia shows and buy anything and everything of, you know, them and others in the genre, and imported magazines like Kerrang and Metal Hammer and cool shit from back then that used to cover the shit we liked, versus like here, no one really did. So we would just. Yeah, we just kind of were the two people that were always into the same stuff. So when it came time to start a label, I was doing it alone for a while, and I was like, dude, you and I are so in sync that you should just help me. And he was so much smarter on the business side, and I was just the guy that was like, I like music, I want to tell people about it. So we kind of yin and yanged it together, which was
right. So you just like learned the business was a learned thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I knew no one helped. Totally. Actually, then Richard and Stephanie from Drive Thru, we reached out randomly, and they were like, you know, come out for a week, work out of our office, and we'll help you with whatever you need, which was like the most generous thing anyone's ever done, because we were just like street team kids for them. And they're like, dude, if you pay your own way out, stay at a hotel, do your thing, like you can come in literally 8 hours a day and you can help us. Like, we were literally folding those drive-through Welcome to the Family pizza boxes, if you remember that compilation. So we folded all like 5,000 of those for Hot Topic, which is nuts. But but they literally helped us start and continue the label and take it to like cut corners in the sense of like, stop doing that, don't pay people to do this, do you know, like little tips that actually saved us money in the long run, which it doesn't sound like it from what I just told you, the debt, but could have been worse.
I have a very funny story about Drive Thru Records.
Oh boy.
I don't know if I have told this on our podcast before, but when I was growing up, I played in this band called, it was a small emo band called in Tucson called Table for One. And I remember we went to, you know, and I was probably like 16 or something.
Were there more than one person, people in that band?
Yeah, it was.
That's a tough name.
I know. More than one. I know. And it was, I mean, it was cool, and it was a lot of fun. But I remember we drove to Drive Thru from Tucson, and we were like so excited because we were like, oh man, we're going to get, you know, it was at the time we're like getting a record, you know, 16, 17, like this could shape your entire future of what this looks like. But at that time, we didn't know that. At the time, I was like, I'm going to get on Warped Tour, and I'm going to be in a play bass in a band, and it's going to be great. And so we get there, meet Richard, and he's like, brings us to the back merch room of like the, and he's like, take whatever you guys want. We sat down, we listened to the record, and ultimately we didn't end up, he was like, I'm, you know, there's another band I'm thinking about signing, you know, so it's like you and them, like you guys and them, and that band turned out to be Something Corporate.
Oh,
so they he ended up making the right decision, you know, like he ended up making a very much so.
Looking back now, you can't be that upset. I feel like
no, I mean, it was. I would have. I wonder what my life would have looked like if that was the route that would have taken. But also, we wouldn't have gotten some of like the those amazing songs. You know, yeah. Maybe we would have, maybe we wouldn't have. But sure. Like, I think that the world is a better place for him turning me down.
Yeah.
So.
That's interesting. Would have
wreaked havoc, and at that time I was drinking a bunch, so we were not. It was not good.
Everything not a healthy situation to go into. Then, yeah,
yeah. If you always look back and you're like, what if it would have been different? I would have fucked it all up. That's I would have fucked up everything. So then, so
you moved to Florida.
Yes, so I moved to Florida in 2004 to start working at Feel Bar Ramen. Again, this is right when Academy is signed, so it was great to like go together. Mm-hmm. Guys I had known for at this point probably 4 or 5 years and worked with them the whole time.
We love William.
Yeah, I see that you guys do a lot of stuff with him.
He's
yeah.
a wonderful man.
He's the best. Yeah.
Yeah, a really, 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 really sweet guy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, so it was fun working with him. It's actually
nice
funny.
Nice face.
Beautiful face. I had his solo project on my label prior to his Academy is band, and we were selling so many records of his solo project that he came to us and was like, hey, I don't really want to do this anymore, I want to do a band. And we were like furious because it was like, finally we're seeing success. And then we went to the first practice, or like not first practice, like probably third or fourth practice. Mm-hmm. They had two songs only and they just played them over and over, and we were like, all right, we get it, like we'll do this. And so we very quickly, but it was like we were pissed. Like, I don't think we talked for like 2 weeks. Really? And we were just like so butthurt by it. And then he's like, just come to a practice and see it. And like later that night, we like agreed on all the deal terms and all that shit. So it was good. But yes, love him as well. So it was good to, right before they put out Almost Here is when we went, they made that record right at the same time. Feel Bar Ramen at that time was just insane, obviously, because it was like, Fall Out Boy was breaking. My favorite band in the world was Less Than Jake. So Vinny being a co-owner at the time, I was just like starstruck going into the office when sure. he was there. So it was weird. And I started at retail, like you were saying. So I didn't get hired on fully as an A&R person yet because they didn't need it, because the label only had like 8 bands. So the owner was just the only A&R person. And then eventually he's like, I'd send him bands or he'd ask my opinion. And when I fell in love with Forgive Durden, actually, he's like, you need to just sign him and do it yourself. And I was like, well, what do you mean? I do retail. I just, you know, fulfill, you know, orders to stores and try to sell them the new whatever we're putting out. And he's like, well, just do what you used to do with this. I was like, oh, all right, cool. So then like one by one, I was signing bands to the label or like helping him with his projects when he got really busy. Because then he had to start traveling a ton with, you know, Fall Out Boy exploding and then Gym Class exploding and like all these other bands that were just like out of this world, out of nowhere. And we were like a 7-person staff. So it wasn't like... Wow. This monster operation. It was like literally bootstrapping and like 16-hour days, and everyone was like normally at the office till like 9-10 o'clock, and it was just, but we all loved it because we all like were learning, young kids. It was like I was 21 22, half the office was mid-20s tops, so we were all just like, this is unbelievable, you know. So, and we had all watched, you know, Drive Thru do it too years prior and been like, that would have been the coolest shit to be a part of it. All of a sudden we are. And so you're never letting go. You're just like, whatever I got to do to keep putting effort in here and keep this thing going.
So did you recognize that? You sound like you recognized it like when you were doing it.
Yeah, because so John, who ran Feel Bar Ramen, who started and ran Feel Bar Ramen, and Vinny from Less Than Jake, who co-owned it, they were really close with Richard and Stephanie while Drive Thru. I think they started the labels at the exact same time, actually, and used to split barcodes. Back then, it was hard to get barcodes for your records, so you'd have to buy like a pack of 100. So they did and split them. So Feel Bar and Roadrunner were like kind of right out of the gate together. Drive Thru obviously exploded really quickly, or earlier, I should say, with Phoenix TX, mm-hmm. then Newfound. Whereas FBR, I think Fall Out Boy was like the 63rd release, whereas Phoenix TX was like the 15th for Drive Thru. So the year gap.
Sure.
So watching what happened there, you know, me as a fan and then John as like a friend of theirs, I think we all kind of were like, holy shit, like, if we ever could get there, like, we got to enjoy the ride because it's fucking crazy. And it's hard to, you know, it's hard to get to there, but it's harder to, like, stay there because, you know, it's like you're expected to, like, get Fall Out Boy-sized bands every time. But luckily, John was a genius and had a million more, and he aligned himself with Pete Wentz, which obviously brought him Panic and Cobra and all these other ones that just, like, kept hitting over and over. So,
I mean, we were ever at, like, a place where it doesn't sound like you guys were ever at a place where, like, you just didn't know what the next move was.
Yeah, it was always pretty busy, and, you know, it got to a point where there was, like, so many bands wanting in that it was very hard to say no, but we were, again, a small staff. So it was like, well, if we double our roster but don't double our staff, like, we're fucked. No one wins then.
Right.
So it was very quality over quantity, you know, so it was hard. We probably passed on a good amount of bands that we should not have passed on. But
just due to, like, how many people were working and, like, what that workload would look like.
Is there one you can think of that you regret
looking back on? Yeah, just because they're still some of my best friends, but All Time Low was one. And
I would have passed on fucking Jackson, dumbass.
Anyway. Well, they're here now, so we're good.
Yeah.
We're back, so 10 years late, but we're all right.
I'll still pass on them.
We'll see what we can do, but... I mean, like, your story of you versus something corporate, that's kind of unfortunately how it was sometimes, where it was like, well, we kind of have room for, like, this, but, like, there's these three bands that, like, kind of got to decide between. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, picking the wrong one hurts sometimes, but also, like, if they're both great and you're like, we just can't do both, you got to make a tough decision. Obviously, it's a lot different now, the bigger the labels become. But back then, again, it was like shoestring shit. Like, and money wasn't, like, flowing. It was, like, still delayed and all that. So it was like Fall Out Boy exploding looked cool, but we were like
still shit. Yeah. I think that happens a lot with us too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I was like, you guys are doing great, and we're like, are we?
Yeah.
Like, we're just really tired.
Yeah.
And
really poor.
Yeah. And so it's like, I think it's a hard thing for people to understand when,
right.
And so we get that.
Yeah, it's a perception versus actual reality.
People are always like, wow, you guys are in Rolling Stone and, like, you know, you're doing so well, and we're so in it that we just don't see it from the outside.
And that's,
you know,
that's kind of why I asked if you recognized it, like, when you were doing it. And, like, sometimes, like, I sit back and we, like, you know, we've changed offices a couple times and we've grown a lot, and our staff has grown, and, like, you know, the community has grown, like, the cities have grown. And sometimes it's hard to see that when we're so in it. And I think I don't ever want to, like, be years and years and years from now and not appreciate the growing process. And even though that it's, like, really long and really hard and really frustrating sometimes, that it is a process, and it's something that, like, really, really appreciate. I see it a lot. Like, but it's hard, man.
Yeah.
It's like a hard thing. If it sounds like you, well, we're a little bit older than you guys were when you were doing that.
Sure.
So I'm tired more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we have new interns, like Cade. He's 20 and he loves it.
Yeah,
and
he's like
killing it. He's
going
above and beyond, like, every day. He's supposed to come in, like, 2 days a week, and now he comes in, like, 5.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, filling orders and, like, taking photos.
Love
and
it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Moving stuff.
Yeah, but that keeps it exciting.
I don't
want
to move anything.
I don't want to touch anything anymore.
Touch anything anymore.
Yeah, it's like, it's so, like, it's fun because, again, growing up, I saw all my favorite bands and was like, man, it'd be crazy. And I don't know if you follow me on Instagram and see the stupid pictures I post with all the bands I grew up loving. But
Babs mentioned it. I will after this.
Yeah, I think
good.
You do a really good job of, like, reflecting on moments, I don't know, through time hop or
cool.
whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of being like, oh, I really appreciated this moment. And
absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah, and that's why it's like me being, you know, I always think to that kid, like, the shit, like, going on tour with Fall Out Boy for a week is, like, a dream come true for that kid, you know. Not that it isn't for me, but at the same time, it's like, oh shit, I get to do this for a job. Like, that's kind of fucked up. So I feel like to not appreciate it is almost like an insane thing to think about, you
mm-hmm.
know, to be able to, like, go to those things or, like, go see Panic at the Forum. It's like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense still, but, like, you go and you're like, all right, cool, there's fucking 20,000 people that here just as excited as me. That's cool. So I think it's just, yeah, maybe stepping outside of it every now and again or whatever.
Yeah, but. No, I mean, I think we do. And when we talk about it out loud, it, like, oh, and when I think about, like, what really makes me happy about it is like how many people like are have become friends through all this stuff, and like there's like a really nice sense of community that like that is now all around the country and soon to be the way. And that is like, if I could ask it for anything, you know, that would be it. Like that would be it, is that like people are becoming friendlier with each other. They are sharing each and being in each other's lives, and like how, and I think that that's like one of the coolest things about, I think that is the coolest thing about Emo Night. Like I think I don't, I think that tops all of my other things. And I, and so it sounds like that is a lot like what like Fueled By went, like that whole and so it's really really nice to know, and it's really nice to see like how far you guys have come, and like and what I think there's the I'm interested in the process of it, because I think that to be at something at the beginning and to be where it is now, there's probably, you have an infinite amount of stories and just an infinite amount of like probably wisdom, you know.
And so you left for a while, right?
I did. So the owner left to go run Interscope Records, which he does now still. And at the time I was kind of caught in no man's land. So I stepped away and went to, I started my own producer, writer, management company, which I still run. And then a couple of years into that, I got the itch again to go back to a label. So I was very friendly with Equal Vision. So I went there. I was there for like 2.5 years before now, last summer, going back to Fueled By Ramen, reconnecting with them through the Nothing Nowhere project, since we did kind of a multi-label thing with them. So, yeah, I mean, being back is so bittersweet, just in a way that like a lot of the same people, a lot of the same staff, a lot of the same bands are still there. Not a lot, but a good amount of the same bands are still there. And to be able to bring new bands into the fold and see it be the same system and same heart, is just kind of a wild 360. And again, it actually makes me appreciate it all more, like being away from it and then going back to it is just like, oh shit, I forgot what this was like. This is crazy. So
as far as like new bands go, do you go out and find, now I'm sure it's easier for people to send stuff to you, but I'm sure the process looks 100% different than it used to.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we get hit up a lot. Obviously the level that Fueled By became, just the network of managers, agents, promoters, anyone that, you know, we've run through in the past sends us an email with a band, you know, whatever it may be. But I do as much as I can. I travel a ton, go to festivals a ton, do whatever, you know, so I'm always as up on it as I can be. Yeah. It's just like you, it's very tiring.
Yeah. But and you have a baby.
I do. She's turning 3 next week, so not as much of a baby anymore, but yes, it's,
I don't know how old.
If you say she's a baby, she'll tell you she's not. So that's, I think, the cutoff.
That's where they, when they say that they're not.
When
a
they
baby,
decide, when they can like tell you that, thought, you're like, all right,
I'm an adult now.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's like, well, get a job. I don't know.
Not a baby.
It's up to you. Figure it out.
Paycheck, baby. Yeah.
So yeah, it's harder to leave, but it's also more rewarding because I'm, you know, providing and helping grow. And she comes to shows with us. So we took her to see, we went to the Back to the Beach in Long Beach this week with Goldfinger and Aquabats and all that shit. And she just got pink headphones, walks out, does it all. Yeah, it's great.
Wow. I took a plane to a pyramid with the Aquabats.
Oh.
And took a puddle jumper.
Wow.
They were in full costume.
Yeah. And if I was like, if this is how I fucking die, like, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It could be worse ways. That's,
they could pick out all of our bodies out of that weird Mexican forest. And like,
were you the only non-Aquabat?
No, no.
Morgan and Eric Tobin.
And then the Aquabats.
That would be a way.
Yeah, we went and saw these like weird pyramids in Mexico, which, by the way, they're like, these aren't pyramids, it's a calendar. And I was like, I mean, they're shaped like pyramids, but it's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
So whatever they form is your opinion.
Yeah, I know. Like, I mean, those are definitely,
these are pyramids.
Like, that is a pyramid shape. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. And they, you know, they wanted to take a bunch of pictures there as Aquabats, which, by the way,
I really wish that you had a selfie, like, in the front of the plane, like you and the Aquabats.
That is, we were burnt.
What
dude.
A situation.
It was a situation. Yeah,
you have to get up at,
those
like,
are situations
3 a.m.,
right? Happen when you're on the Warped Cruise.
Right, okay. I was going to ask,
it's
how did
like
that
a
start,
very,
but that makes more sense.
I made it.
It makes sense when you're there.
Eric was like...
it was Steph from Warped Tour who put it all together.
Yeah, Steph was... Eric came up to me and he's like, do you want to take a plane tomorrow and go see the whatever the fucking things are? And he thought I was going to put up a fight because everybody else was like, well, man, like, you know, I want to go into Mexico and like go see this. I was like, yeah, 100%. It was like no convincing whatsoever.
No hard sell.
Yeah, he asked me and I was like, yeah, that sounds fun. He's like, okay, so we'll meet at 6 a.m. in the lobby.
The party till like 3 a.m.
And I was like, absolutely not.
Leave right so after much. The party.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome. It was like one of my favorite things that I've ever done. Have you ever been there?
No.
Chichitlan or some shit. I don't know how to say it.
I'll look it up.
It's like it has a bunch of T's and CHs. It's like a bunch of ask Eric, dude. He fucking knows.
Yaxicodal.
It's like and there's an amazing part. There's like fucking something so weird. Like there's this. So the pyramid is like a calendar, right? Like I guess you know. It's a calendar. So like what they built it. I'll tell you what it means. Okay. So they built it as so at. It follows the sun's movement. So it took years and years and years for them to figure out where the sun lays and the shadows happen and all these fucking bricks. And like, there's a certain amount of bricks on each side. And when the sun hits this, et cetera, et cetera, it's an amazing, it's honestly a marvel. Like right. there is no way, it's weird. That's why people are like aliens.
Of course, because it's smart.
It's fucking crazy. Yeah. So, the craziest thing about it though was, If you stand in front of it, there's like a stairway up. They blocked it off because someone fell down the stairway and they fucking died. Mm-hmm. But now you used to be able to like walk up the stairway.
Ruined it for everyone, yeah.
It's fucking dying, ruining it for everybody. But there's this thing where you stand in front of it, and I guess they used to wear these crowns, or not these crowns, these headdresses of the bird that lived in that in the forest, and the bird made a specific sound. And if you stand in front of the pyramid, and you stand in this specific spot, like right in front of it, not a centimeter right, not a centimeter left, and you clap, the pyramid will make that sound back at you. They somehow figured out the way to do that.
That's insane.
So when they had ceremonies and shit, they would stand in front and like bang shit, and it would just be this. It's wild. It is the wildest thing in the entire world.
That sounds like a hell of a trip.
Yeah, but I was also there with dudes, and I was in where were the Aquabats? So
it helped.
Like so, that
the
was
weirdness really... just kept going at that point. Yeah.
So we that was my Aquabats story.
Great. Well, they were great on Sunday, just so you know, or Saturday, whatever it was.
Yeah, they're awesome.
They still got it.
Did they make you guys sit?
What, the Aquabats?
Yeah,
I think they were. We at half the point, she gets a little unruly, so we kind of wander. But I definitely think I heard some of that going on.
To make everybody sit down.
Yeah, do this
super fun.
I saw him with Travis Barker. Yeah, I know. About a long time ago, long time ago.
Well, wait, don't the Aquabats have like a show like that they write the music for?
Yeah.
What is it? It's like that really popular.
Is it
show.
Yo Gabba Gabba?
It's Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah. And they invite all the like Jimmy Eat World and Taking Back Chromio. Sunday's been on. They're pretty hip with it. So it's like you see these bands get a weird Nickelodeon look. And you're like, holy shit.
Yeah. We're going to London with fucking John Feldman here in a couple.
That's awesome. Oh, for what? Slam Dunk. Slam Dunk. Yeah. That's great.
Are you going? Do you
I'm
go?
Not. I have never been. I need to do it at some point. Yeah. I think I'm doing Reading and Leeds this year for the first time at home, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, this is the first time we're going international.
That's
going
to be awesome.
Yeah, we're really excited.
Yeah, that's a hell of a lineup, too. That festival is crazy. So you guys are doing a party there?
We're doing a pre-party.
Like the launch party for it, yeah. Which is cool because we can just pull in artists from the festival,
That's there a day early.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And everybody's
everyone should be there.
Yeah,
because it's literally the night. It goes till 4 in the morning, so it kind of dips into the actual day, too.
Crazy.
We're not going to go to the festival the first day.
No.
You're going to be sleeping.
We'll go on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the first time we're actually like doing like an international thing. So it's really cool.
World tour.
Yeah.
That's it.
We are officially international.
There you go.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. Yeah. Well, sort of. But it's already announced.
But so right before this, we were talking about how you kind of like post about moments that were meaningful to you. Is there one that kind of stands out that was a really cool story? Of working at Fueled By, or
I mean, you posted like the 21 Pilots one.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, that was just randomly. I must have tweeted it or something because it came up on my time hop. That growth has been just nuts. You know, obviously, I guess just like sitting and talking to the guys and like Fall Out Boy. Well, even before they were signed to Fueled By, they were gonna. You know, there's a bunch of labels courting them, and there was also a bunch of labels not courting them, which they were very confused by. And there was moments where it was very much like, what are we doing wrong? I'm like, nothing. Like, you see the crowd at these shows, and you know, at the time it's like 300 or 400 kids, but I'm like, there's so much excitement, just keep going. And then, like, you know, a little bit later it all fucking worked out. But yeah, it's just those moments of like watching artists at their earliest then turn into whatever they become, even if it's, you know, a non-success business-wise, but watching them be able to pull, you know, do something that they really wanted, or make a concept album, or like whatever it may be, and having them accomplish that is just like the most fun thing in the world. And it's like having those relationships and moments prior to any sort of like accolade or success, and then watching it, and then most of them all still being the same exact person at the end of it, where it's like, let's just go crack a beer and talk shit on whatever, is the best feeling in the world. So I think I could probably point to a specific thing with each single artist, but it's also like with each of those artists, like watching them struggle and question themselves forever into then now what most people know of them, you know, mm-hmm. is just the coolest like moments for me.
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask you like your top three, like if there are three memorable or whatever amount of memorable moments that stick out in your head.
Sure.
Through this whole career of yours, like what that would be.
Yeah. I mean, obviously those early Fall Out Boy conversations were definitely one, because those guys helped me out a lot too with starting my label. And at the point where no labels were coming, we were going to do an EP together, right, as Feel By came in. So that would be one. Academy is living with those guys, watching them for a year, right, almost here, like with notepads and just so much shit all over our living room, and us like be pissed the whole time. But then when they showed it, they went to Florida, recorded the record, and came back, we were like,
wow,
wait a second, you guys are a real band.
That, like, record is so good.
It's crazy. And it's like the stuff that they did prior to it was good, but like mm-hmm. nowhere near the level that they took it to. And we kind of like knew they had it, but we were also like just roommates, so it was almost like, I don't know, maybe we like it more because we're fucking roommates and friends. So them watching their growth, and they were like 19 years old. They were so young. They weren't even like, you know, legal age. Like touring was hard for them. Siski was like 15 or 16 when they started touring. So it was really fucking weird to watch. And then third, I would probably say when we were signing or had just signed Panic, a couple of us flew out to Vegas to watch them rehearse in their little shitty, like 200 degree room, like probably the size of this, with like six or seven of us sitting on a couch and them playing like all haphazardly, not even set up like a mm-hmm. stage. And you could just like see Brendan just like this mega, like holy shit superstar moment. And you're just like, and the songs, the first songs they ever recorded were two that actually ended up making their record. So you could immediately just like watch that, and like it was almost like you were in on a secret that you were like, oh shit, this, no one's ready, like this is very obviously going to be a thing. And then also having them sit with us and explain their vision and what they wanted their first headlining tour to ever look like circus tents and all the shit. And we were like,
is that when they went out with like Dresden Dolls?
That was the second headlining tour, but okay. The first one was like Block Party and I think Plain White Tees. I forget who.
Love Block Party.
Too. Yeah, it was a really. I think they had to cancel like a week into it because I think someone's vocals or something mm-hmm. happened. But just listening to them say that like a year and a half prior, like what they envisioned their first headlining tour, we're like, you guys are fucking crazy. Like, let's just worry about playing to 200 people first. Mm-hmm. But like, they had this vision since day one of like how. I think they even wanted like live animals on stages in cages, like under the drum riser.
Incredibly hard to pull off.
Yes.
Every person would be mad.
Yes. Yeah. And it was just very much like one of those moments where you saw a true artist like have it mm-hmm. and like not waver. Right. And then like got to the point of the explosion and all of it happening that they were then like, we could do it now. Mm-hmm. And then like they literally a year later or whatever did it. And the first, I think it was called Nothing Rhymes with Circus Tour. And the I went to the first date of it, and I think I grabbed Brendan and Ryan at the time and was just like, this is exactly what you said you were going to do a year and a half ago. I hope you realize that. And they were just like, fuck, that's right. You know, it's like one of those moments mm-hmm. where you're like able to kind of point that back out to them. So it's
that's
just,
that's again, those are some awesome. Really great things.
Yeah, it's just cool to watch those things. And like, you know, sitting in a room, you know, just dicking around with ideas to then like see them. It's like you kind of remind yourself that you could literally
accomplish whatever you want to do.
And it works sometimes. Yeah. And sometimes it doesn't, but
yeah. That's another thing I was going to ask. So you ever like, There are a couple artists that I like right now where I'm like, man, why isn't this? Do you ever get that frustrated where you're like, why don't other people see what I see, or trying to convince somebody that this is going to be amazing? Like, do you run into that ever?
Yeah, I mean, I think back then it was hard just because we were a small label, so not everything was exploding. But I worked with a bunch of bands that I feel like should have been a lot bigger, whether it be Forgive Durden or This Providence, or I worked with a band called Power Space, which was like the most fun party band in the world.
Sounds like a good band name.
Yeah, it's great, and it's just like, it's like dancey. It's like Cobra Starship, in a sense, but with guitar solos and shit. So it was like literally this moment where I was like, this is so obvious to me. Why isn't this like the biggest thing in colleges or like whatever? But we just never got it to the right place. So it's super frustrating. But there's different reasons: managers, agents, some band members, you know, whatever it may be. A lot has to go right for a band to like not only get successful but to sustain it. So it's not as easy as just writing a couple good songs.
You know, it's a lot of politics.
Yeah,
that too. That definitely helps and hurts certain bands and teams of, you know, behind the band.
Right.
So, you know, if you have a manager that not a lot of people like, it's harder to get a fucking favor.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Or an agent.
Yeah. So it's.
Who's a dick?
There are some. Yeah. I'm sure you guys have dealt with a good amount of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really interesting with, you know, what we do with Emo Night, just to kind of like learn the politics behind everything. And I don't know. A lot of people are always like, how the fuck do you guys pull all this stuff off? You know, seeing as there's so many, like, you know, invisible rules that you have to follow.
And moving parts.
Yeah.
You
know, because you think of something, you're like, oh, this would be really cool, but to accomplish that would take, I don't know.
It's impossible. I mean, we've been emailing about ideas to where you and I have run into roadblocks ourselves.
Exactly. Being
like, I'm trying to help, but there's also, like, there's steps in between all of it. So
yeah.
I think, yeah, it's just, it's, I can't even imagine for your Emo Night Day stuff with, like, billing and stuff. I'm sure there's, like, the dumbest.
We actually didn't really run into
it. No, last year. Remember how many revisions on the flyer we had to do?
Yeah, we had to do a lot of revisions, and we couldn't announce certain things due to radius clauses, which, like, you know, it's hard. But I think that, like, we believe in it so much that, like, that other people will believe us that it'll be really a cool thing. And we just want to put together something that is fun and different and cool for everybody to experience. So I think that as long as that is the goal, we'll be able to
You'll be able to work through the other shit. And a lot of it's just, like, a weird dick measuring contest.
Oh, my God, 100%.
And you're like, we don't care who's where.
Exactly.
You two talk it out.
Yeah, I actually remember we had to switch the billing like last second, but it almost wasn't frustrating to me because I was like, this is such a fucking cool lineup. Yeah, like, I don't care where anyone goes ever, but if they care, like, I'll switch it and it's fine.
Exactly. You know? And that's the problem, because luckily you guys are as easygoing as you are because you're doing it for the right reason versus other people like booking festivals and whatever. They're like, no, it has to be this, because not only do they want it that way, but they have like favors and like,
exactly.
But you guys are like, we want these 30 people to come and do shit.
Yeah.
So you tell us who's pissed, raise your hand, and we'll talk amongst ourselves.
Dude, and I think even when we released it, we were like, it's probably there's gonna be
here we go.
We're gonna have a bunch more.
And even day of, we printed out, like, for last Emo Night Day, we printed out the lineup and the schedule. And since Demi Lovato was like, you know, we had to not announce it, but we put it on the schedule because it was day of.
Right. So who cares?
And her manager was like,
They're like, we can't.
We had thousands of paper flyers that ended up.
Wait,
in the
trash. How did they see it?
I told them. Yeah. I was like, look,
last second, I was like, we should probably check.
Yeah. Like, I was like, fuck. She didn't announce it, but I was like, you know, we wanted to give a schedule of like what the fuck was happening. Right. And then I was like, could we even just like, what if I just sharpied this shit out? And they're like, no, kids will fucking like, or get it. Yeah. And then it'll go all over the place and everybody will be in trouble.
Yeah.
That's tough.
You know what though? They were fucking awesome and she rules. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, and if they play ball.
She doesn't know anything about that. She just wants to come and like hang out and do the thing.
Which is good. Anything. It should stay separate. But
yeah, totally.
That's fun. That day was awesome, by the way. So.
Thanks for being a part of it.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We're going to try and make another good one.
Yeah.
And then another good one.
That's right. Keep them coming.
Yeah, dude. Is there anything else?
What are you working on right now that you're so stoked on?
Because I have to pee so bad.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
Go
in
your pants. My wife and I do a clothing company called Good Future Club, which is really fun, and we do it just kind of put some positive vibes into the world. So we're doing that. I'm back at Fubar Ramen, so I'm working with a bunch of great bands, a bunch of good records coming out. We just put out the Nothing Nowhere record 2 weeks ago, which is an awesome one. I don't know. Just a lot of good shit happening.
Yeah.
You know? So continuing on the path of hopefully finding and breaking good bands and supporting
the people. Fever is amazing.
Fever is, doing great.
That show was unbelievable.
Yeah, we were blown away.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for coming. That was a wild one.
Was it like the day after Emo Night too?
We had been like traveling or something, but we were like, we told Johnny we're going.
Yeah,
that was
a great show too. That was actually, I think, the second show, which Carson Daly keeps airing random songs from that show.
Really?
It's pretty fucking wild to see.
That's really cool.
That band's insane. They're out with The Used right now on the East Coast.
Oh, cool.
It's good. It's a very polarizing project that every day they'll call and be like, I check in just because, again, it's such a weird project in the sense that, like, it's pushing people's buttons.
Yeah.
And they're playing in the South and Midwest. So it's a little like...
Oh, yeah, with those same visuals.
Finding, yeah, the, exactly. Yeah. So it's, like, good. It's, like, it's very loud and polarizing, but at the same time, I'm always like, you good? Like, I'm always like, remember, you got a wife and kid. Just remember, like, this isn't just like throw down moments. But so that band's doing awesome. Like I said, Nothing Nowhere record came out. We signed that project Grandson, which I was talking to Morgan about, who's shooting a video at some point with him. That project is amazing. Yeah, those are kind of the new things that I'm very excited about. So I don't know. Anything? What are you guys listening to?
I think, one of the artists that we've had at Emo Night lately, this band, Youngblood, have you heard of them?
I have not.
You should look it up. It's this kid from the UK, and he just has the craziest energy in the world.
Cool.
And they're really good. Yeah. I'll send it to you.
Awesome. Please do.
But I think this year, if I could think of, like, one performance that stood out to me, it was that.
Great.
Yeah.
Which one?
Youngblood.
One performance?
Yeah.
And then Morgan and I really liked the Front Bottoms record that came out last
fucking
year.
Thought it was a perfect album.
Awesome.
I thought it was a perfect. I thought it was a 10 out of 10 album. I don't like anything.
Yeah.
Like a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I feel like they found this cool thing that, like, a little bit of it reminded me of The Shins, which I haven't heard it done well like that in a really long time. And I was like, just such a fan from the styling, because I didn't work there yet when that was coming, or I did when it came out, but not when it was like being made. And when I got there, they played me that record, and I was like, wait a second, go back. And I had to like keep going back through these songs, and I was like, holy shit, this is gonna be such a big
there's
thing.
Not
They're also
one
so
song
good live.
There's not one song that's bad on the album, and like I like albums for albums, like I like doing the whole thing all the way through. I think they're
you do.
I love albums.
To a fault.
Morgan comes in here, and when he gets to work, he just puts on whatever album he wants.
And whatever else
whatever
is
else
on.
Is playing, and just
full
put
albums,
it on repeat.
Dude.
And then he'll get
what was the album today?
I listened to a whole Rubens Accomplice album.
Cool. We listened to Teenage Riss, but I think you turned that off and then put on Ruben.
Nice.
I fucking love Teenage Riss.
Yeah, great.
I think that they have a fucking thing going.
Yeah, I agree.
Like I think Cam fucking nailed it.
He did. Yeah.
I think he fucking nailed it.
I've been rooting for that kid for a long time.
Yeah. So weird.
It's like he's one of those dudes that when he came back with this band, before I heard it, I was like, please be good, Cam.
He's been doing it for so long.
Yeah. And he nailed it. I think this project is actually really fucking cool.
We've been working with them since Chain Gang and and everything. It's been cool to get to work with all the bands that we like.
Sure.
You know, and I think that's the other part of the Ride or Cry part is a really fun part of this, because we always go, wouldn't it be cool if we could just do this? Or I always had video ideas where I would be like, this would be fucking great to do this. And now because of Emo and I, like, we get to do those ideas that we've always envisioned.
That's awesome.
And I think that is just such a that I am incredibly grateful for.
Yeah, you guys are in a unique spot with like having the platform, but always like being able to be involved in things. Like, you're not having to beat people to the punch, in a sense, if you know what I'm saying. Like, it's like when I want to sign a band and someone else signs it, like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like it's non, I don't get to participate or play maybe a tour here and there or like a, maybe a split if we're lucky. But like, yeah, I feel like with yours, it's like all encompassing and like welcoming, which is such a cool thing that like you could literally just make a dream list and possibly nail it, you know?
Yeah.
Versus like a lot of other positions. So I love that, that it's like flexible and you guys do a great job at supporting and lifting, giving bands a shot too, which is like you said, Youngblood or, you know, with Cam and a bunch of shit.
Yeah, there's just too much good stuff that like that would never see the light of day if they didn't have a cool platform.
Yep.
And like I think that Emo Night is given a platform, you know, a built-in audience for bands to play, and they trust judgment to like they know we're gonna put like.
What was it, like a week after Youngblood played Emo Night, he booked Warped Tour. He got added
a week after booked Warped Tour, and K-Rock was like constantly tweeting at him because amazing. Yeah, two of them. Yeah, we've had a lot of bands that have played Emo Night that like Fearless and Hopeless have signed.
Move on pretty quickly.
Honestly, yeah, right. So cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great thing.
It's great.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I went into K-Rock the other day and just yelled about music, about how every fucking band sucks.
How did that go over?
Fine, actually. They welcomed it.
They're like, sure, we agree, we're stuck.
No, it was really weird. I went into this music meeting and they play a list of like 20 artists that they may push out the next week, and you rate them 0 to 5. I gave everything a 0 except one ska song.
I gave it a five. Great. Was it an Aquabats song?
It was not. It was an Interrupter song.
Great. That song's great, actually.
Yeah, that song's fucking really cool. Yeah. Sounds like the dude from Rancid produced it, and I was like, yeah, you can tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, and I actually just saw the video like Tuesday or something, and I was very much like, this sounds like Rancid. It's fucking cool.
It's exactly what it is, but it's fucking pretty. It sounds like K-Rock, which is cool. You know what I mean? That was
gonna be great.
One of the things. So, but... Cool. Wasn't voted of this song.
I didn't know you worked at K-Rock. That's cool.
I don't.
So you're the gatekeeper for K-Rock is what we're getting at. Yes. So everyone should tweet at you.
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't like anything.
You can rate it at least for them, though? Like a 0 to 5?
Yeah, a 0.
All right.
It doesn't
automatic? Just set up the auto response?
It's just a 0. I'm just going to tweet 0 at it.
Well, let's see. We'll trial and error that one. See what we can bring.
Yeah, I'm super. I don't know what the fuck is going on with me.
Well, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for the invite.
This is good.
Yeah, thank you. This was really.
This
cool.
is one of the more informative.
Cool
podcasts. Yeah. I think we learned something, and I hope you guys did also.
It's a good one.
Anything else to plug on your end?
No, I'm good, man. Just you know. Be nice to each other.
Be nice to each other.
That's right. Don't be assholes. There's enough.
That's true.
Okay.
You want to say hi to your daughter?
Hi, daughter. She doesn't listen to these. She's 3.
Ever heard of stoicism? Chances are, if you have, you've heard of stoicism with a lowercase s and not stoicism with an uppercase s. Lone wolves, no emotions, antisocial behavior, cold indifference. All that is stoicism with a lowercase s. Stoicism with an uppercase s is the ancient Greek philosophy and virtue ethics framework that centers on service to the cosmopolis, to include your family, friends, community, and planet, and the development of a good moral character. My name is Tanner Campbell, and I'm the host of Practical Stoicism, a 3 times a week podcast teaching Stoic principles and concepts to anyone interested through the exploration of texts and deep dives into various moral topics. You can find Practical Stoicism where you're already listening to podcasts by searching for Practical Stoicism or by going to stoicismpod.com. I invite you to give it a listen today. You just might like it.